This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlil fala hadiya lahu wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. السلام السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. As I pointed out of last week, these lectures which I've does our age reflect the times of the Sahaba were initially given by a sheikh by the name of Anwar Nasr al-Awlaqi, a Yemeni scholar and mujahid, and this is given in his honor, his lectures. I'm just paraphrasing what he said. And for your information, he was killed by an American drone in. So today we continue keeping alive and reviving the heritage of not only our earlier scholars, but also our later scholars, keep their memories alive, inshallah, particularly when they were committed Muslims and committed to Islam. And they had a beautiful work interpreting this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in continuance, this is part two of our continuance on our lectures on does our times reflect the times of the Sahaba. And we ended off by saying that of all the generations that had was post the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our generation seems to reflect what had happened in the time of the Sahaba more so than any other time in the history of Islam. And I pointed out that that the first thing that we have lost is the Khilafah. Our last Khilafah, not so long ago, mind you, our last Khalifa was only deposed in 1924, which is not, you know, not a long time ago. And he was, of course, an Ottoman, part of the Ottoman Empire, the Empire of Ottomania, which was was seated in Turkey. So from the time of the Nabi Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam until 1924, we had a Khalifa. Weak or good or bad, but we had a Khalifa. We had what is called a central authority for Muslims to whom they could revert in times of trouble or war or oppression or the need to know about the deen and so forth and so on. So I also reflected last week on Sunday rather on what is the need of the hour for us? The need for the hour for us, and I brought this in myself, it's not part of Imam Awlaqi's lecture, is to re-establish and to restore the law of Islam, the legal system of Islam. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in the hadith, لَتُنْ قَضَنَّ عُرَى الْإِسْلَامِ عُرْوَةً عُرْوَةً فَكُلَّمَا انْتَقَتْ عُرْوَةٌ تَشَبَّثَ النَّاسُ بِالَّتِي تَلِيهَا فَأَوَّلُهُنَّ نَقْطًا عَلْ حُكُمْ وَآخِرُهُنَّ الصَّلَةِ. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in the hadith that the pillars of Islam will be attacked one by one, to be brought down one by one. Prophet didn't say by who, but we can instinctively know that Nabi was referring to us. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, every time a pillar is broken down or destroyed, the Muslims would cling on to the next pillar. And the first pillar that will go will be the pillar of the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hukum, of course, is the legal system of Islam. It is the authority in Islam. So the authority is the first that will go. So we need to reestablish that authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you ask, how do we do that? We can do that in our own lives by establishing the deen in our lives. Our wills, for example, our estates, our inheritances, is still a law which we can implement fully in our time, in this day, in this country. But yet many of us seek to go other ways, which means we are breaking it down. So may Allah give, inshallah, that we rise to that challenge of this generation in which we live. But let's see what Imam Awlaqi says. Imam Awlaqi says that, he emphasizes that for 14 centuries, we have not had this kind of situation. But the situation we're in now is most similar to the situation of the Sahaba, alayhi salatu wasalam. In which way? First, there was no Khalifa in the time of the Sahaba, alayhi salam. Until the Prophet salam came to Medina and established, of course, Prophethood and so forth and so forth. Number two is that in the time of the Sahaba, the whole of the known world at the time were against the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba. They fought the entire surroundings. The whole Arabian Peninsula was against them. The Roman Empire was against them. The two great empires, the Persian Empire and the Roman Empire, was against them. Wanted to eliminate them when they heard that this Prophet ﷺ had arrived in Mecca. And this is similar to our situation today. We find that the Islamic world is surrounded by those who want to destroy the Muslims at any cost, at all costs. And they've already destroyed the Islamic authority. And wherever Muslims are, and not only in Muslims living in Muslim minority countries, but also Muslims living in Muslim majority countries, even there, the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been attacked. I'm not going to give examples. Let's move on. So, Imam Awlaqi says, in every generation, in every age, there will be people who will assist you in haq. That was throughout the ages. People will stand with the truth. People will stand with the haq. You would find people who will, you'll find countries where you would have find a place where you could make hijrah to as Muslims. Many people in the early 18th, 17th, 16th century used to make hijrah to Mecca and Medina. You settle there. From all over the world they used to go there. Wherever they were oppressed and they could get to Mecca and Medina, they would gather there. They would know that that is Darul Islam, Darul Iman, and so forth and so on. Today we find in the entire globe, there is not a single place that Muslims can take refuge in. Least of all the so-called Muslim countries. Least of all. There are still non-Muslim countries, majority non-Muslim countries who take Muslim refugees and Muslim people who are oppressed in their own countries. Very similar to the time of Sahaba. They had nowhere to go. Which means that just as the Sahaba deserve the ajr, the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah promised him in the Quran, and the rida of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is great rewards from Allah. If Allah says, I'm pleased with you, what more do you want? Allah says, I'm pleased with you. You pleased with me, I'm pleased with you, subhanAllah. So the ajr that the Sahaba got, we can get maybe not the same great ajr, but the same kind of ajr. And that is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this in the hadith. Now we know that the best age, Nabi said, was the age of his age and the age of the Sahaba, then the age of the Tabi'een and the Tabi'een. But one day the Prophet addressed the Sahaba, and this was in Medina, and he said to them, Sayyati ala nasi zamanu. A time will come when 50 of you, talking to the Sahaba, he said, when 50 of you, when one Muslim will be equal to 50 of you, subhanAllah. So Sahaba said, one Muslim? 50 Muslims will be equal to one of us? Prophet said, no, not 50 Muslims will be equal to one of you. One Muslim will equal to 50 of you. In other words, one Muslim will, a time will come and one Muslim will be equal to 50 Abu Bakrs, 50 Uthmans, 50 Alis. Hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So it means that there is a time near the end, and we don't know which time that will be, but certainly that time is getting closer and closer and closer. When one salah that we make will be equal to 50 salahs that Abu Bakr made or Umar made. Subhanallah. One day that we fast will be equal to 50 fasts of a man like Abu Bakr. Subhanallah. And Abu Bakr was second only to the Anbiya in his status. Subhanallah. So, why is this so? Because the difficulty that we will find in the end of time, and we living in the end of time, will be so difficult. We'll find it so difficult that we will get this ajr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we'll come to know what is it that we will need to do in this time that we live in. So why do we complain about the time in which we live? Why do we complain in the time when we're in the time of the new gold rush? What a rush for gold? A rush for hasanat. A rush for what? For hasanat. Why was he given that status by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And Umar and the rest of the sahaba that was around the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because of the support they gave to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing more. Because they said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are here, we are with you, we will support you, we'll give our lives for you. That's all. They openly showed their support for the haqq which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that was the hasanat that they had. That weighs like mountains upon their scale on the earth. So we're living in boom times, at end of times. This is boom times. This is the gold rush. I said it's not a rush for gold. This is a rush for hasanat. So we need to go and get it. We need to live the truth. Subhanallah. That was the life of the Sahaba alayhi as-salatu wasalam. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ajru ala qadri al-mashaqqa. That your ajr, your reward will be commensurate with your difficulty. So the more difficult you find it to spread the haqq, to speak the haqq, to implement the haqq, the greater your ajr. The greater your ajr. The greater your reward. So the closer we come to the time of Nabi Isa, the greater the reward of the mujahideen and the people of truth, the greater the reward will be. We shouldn't wait on the sidelines. Don't be afraid, don't be scared. Think about the adhan by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we shouldn't complain about the times in which we live. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith of Muslim, Allah has shown me the whole world. The entire earth was shown to me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the kingdom of your nation will be spread and will reach every corner of this earth. Hasn't that time arrived yet? That time is certainly arrived. There are Muslims in every single corner of the globe. Subhanallah. So we've already reached that time. We're living in that time. And you know and I know that the world is divided into those who speak the truth and those who lie. Islam will reach and continue to reach everywhere. Kalima of La ilaha illallah is already everywhere. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sayablughu hadha deen ma bayna layli wa nahar. rises and with the sun sets. Everywhere, and that's the whole earth, that's the whole world. So we must agree then that the time that we're talking about, the time of the Sahaba, are coming back to us. The opportunities are coming back to us. I don't know how long, we don't know how long. 100 years, 50 years, 200 years, 500 years, but certainly all the signs are there and the makings of it is there. So we quoted in the beginning, I quoted Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, who said to the Tabi'een, he said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا. Sorry, not a Sahabi. He was a famous scholar of Damascus. He said, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ أَمْرًا هَيَّأْ لَهُ أَسْبَابًا. He said that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something to come about, if Allah wants to create something in the future, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates the circumstances for that thing to take place. I want to put this to the test. Let's see how this works. Is it true that when Allah subhanahu wants to bring about something in the future, He creates the circumstances now so that that can take place in the future? For this, we need to look at history. We need to look at our history and we need to see what events, when you look back, Allah planned for the Muslims. And I want to refer you to a hadith in Bukhari, hadith number 3777. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَانَ يَوْمُ بُعَاثٍ يَوْمًا قَدَّمَهُ اللَّهُ لِرَسُولِهِ. Did you keep this in mind? It's a very important hadith, it's a very important name of something. كَانَ يَوْمُ بُعَاثٍ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this day, Bu'ath, very important name to remember. If you forget anything else about this lecture, must remember this, the word Bu'ath. It was a day of a great battle. And it changed the whole future of Islam. And Aisha says, this was a day, قَدَّمَهُ اللَّهُ لِرَسُولِهِ, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 5 years before it happened. The Nabi was totally unaware. This battle of Bu'ath took place in Medina while the Nabi was still in Makkah. Only 5 years after this battle took place, the Nabi ﷺ made Hijrah. So what is the connection between this battle and the Nabi ﷺ? We know that, let's just rewind a little bit, we know the Nabi ﷺ preached in Makkah for 13 years. 13 years. He made no progress with the people of Makkah. And he was looking for an alternative, and he went to Taif, and we know the story of Taif. And then every year, what he used to do is, when the people, the tribes of the Arabian Peninsula came to Makkah for Hajj, their Hajj that they made, he used to go to the tribes that came for Hajj, and used to ask them one question only. You ask them, please just support me in the truth. Just support me to make this da'wah of La ilaha illallah. Please give me your support so that I can carry this message throughout the Arabian Peninsula. He got no response. Nobody wants to support the truth. People are scared. They were scared of the Quraysh. They were scared of the consequences of supporting Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that attitude we get right up to today. People who stand on the truth, people who speak the truth, people avoid them. People don't support them. The same with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May we not be of those people. Ameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted that ajr, that reward, to go somewhere else. The reward of what? The reward of supporting the truth was not going to go to those people, to Taif. It wasn't going to go to the people of the Quraysh of Makkah. It wasn't going to go to the tribes who came for Hajj. Allah didn't want them to get that ajr, that great reward, questioningly the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who were those people? Those people were the Ansar of Medina. They would get that reward. At this time, they were out of the picture. They were not in the picture at all. They were not Muslim. They used to come for Hajj also. They weren't interested. So let's carry on the dialogue and see what happened. In Medina, now I sketch Medina. While the Prophet was in Makkah, and he had no contact with the people of Medina, he was struggling in Makkah to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that the ultimately they wanted to kill him, subhanAllah. Ultimately they wanted to kill him. This was 5 years before he went to Medina. What happened in Medina? This war took place. War is called the Harb of Bu'ath. It's called the Day of Bu'ath. What happened on this day? Now, the Aus and the Khazraj, these were two tribes, Arab tribes living in Medina. They were at war all the time. Arabs have to fight. The only person who could bring peace between all the Arab tribes was who? Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For hundreds of years, the Aus and the Khazraj, these two tribes fought against each other. Every day they would get up, put on their armor and go fight each other. That was their life. And they were getting tired. When is this going to end? And the day of Bu'ath came, and what happened was, at this particular battle, the leaders of both the Aus and the Khazraj were killed. So they were leaderless. The Arab tribes that controlled Medina, they were leaderless. And this had nothing to do with Medina. This is 5 years before the Prophet ﷺ in Hijra. 5 years later, we know what happened. Prophet came to Medina. Because there were no leader, also the Khazraj and the Jews, they all came together and they said, we appoint Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as our leader. Because the Jews were not sincere in this. And that is how Islam was established as a state in Medina. That honor was given to the Ansar. Their support of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Ansar, they were the supporters of the Nabi alayhi wasallam. Of course, including the people who, the Muhajirun, who came from Mecca. You will notice that throughout the reading of the Quran, if you read the Quran from cover to cover, you will find that there are people who are always against the Anbiya. They made it their profession to oppose the Anbiya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Quran gives them a title. There is a word that refers to those who opposed the truth. They are called the Al-Mala'a. Allah refers a lot to the Al-Mala'a. Many, many verses in the Quran where Allah uses the word Al-Mala'a. Who are these people? What was the mala? What was the mala Fir'aun? The mala are the leadership. People in leadership capacities. Political leadership. Economic leadership. Today the media. Those people who control the media. And so forth and so on. These are the people who oppose the Anbiya from day one. Read the Quran. Why did they oppose the Anbiya? For what reason? They were the leaders in their communities. Why? Always opposed. Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. These were the leaders of the Quraysh. They opposed the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They stood against him. They were the most intelligent in their communities. But they fought against him. Why? Because they had the most to lose. You'll always find that those who are against the truth, they have the most to lose. Because they will lose their status quo. The only thing that can destroy false status quos and false egos is the truth. It exposes those who are there not to lead or to serve, but to serve their own ego. So these leaders, they were benefiting, they benefit from the status quo. So they resisted the da'wah. They resisted the da'wah of the Anbiya. Because the da'wah, and what was the da'wah of the Anbiya? They knew that the da'wah of the Anbiya was the power. And what is the power of the Anbiya? What is the da'wah of the Anbiya? The da'wah of the Anbiya is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there was no book. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Khilafah that we were talking about early on, they are those people who was only trying to establish the book of Allah. Umar, Abu Bakr, Ali, Uthman, all the scholars throughout the centuries, they weren't there for themselves. Nobody paid them a salary. They didn't necessarily have to protect, or a name they had to protect, or their fact that they were well known to protect. No. The only thing they had to protect was the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so these leaders, whether they're social leaders or political leaders or leaders in the economic field, whatever position they have amongst their people as leaders, that is, they were the opposition to the Anbiya, not the Anbiya, but the message of the Anbiya. Abu Jahl, Abu Rab, they loved the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. They were his uncles. Very fond of him. Quraysh were very fond of him. Until the day he said, La ilaha illallah. Now we don't like you anymore. You're not one of us. You're an outsider. And of course, what they don't realize is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question the niyat, the intentions of the day of Qiyamah. And these people, these leaders, they wanted to spread the haqq and speak the truth. They were forced into the positions which they had. Abu Bakr gave Omar, he said, Omar, please, man, you take the khilaf. I don't want the khilaf. Eventually, first, Abu Bakr was appointed. Then Omar, he appointed Omar. Omar didn't want it. They didn't want it. Because they knew the level of accountability they will have in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the day of Qiyamah. It's either very difficult, it's very easy. To be with the truth can be very easy, it can also be very difficult. Our ego makes it very, very difficult. You can break that. Then we will succeed, inshallah, as a community and as individuals. Al-Mala'ah. Those who oppose the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Rabi' ibn Amir was the leader of the army that fought against the Persians, conquered the Persian Empire. The king of Persia asked him, because he went to him and said, I'm offering you to accept Islam. And the king of Persia said, but you know, you really want to fight? I mean, do we have to go to war on this? He said, I'll pay each one of your soldiers something, whatever you want to be paid. Leave us alone. So we asked him, he said, why are you coming here? Why are you coming to lay down your lives for this deen, for this Islam that you talking about, for this Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What did he teach you? What does he want? He said to the king, لِيُخْرِجَ النَّاسَ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ الْعِبَادِ إِلَىٰ عِبَادَةِ رَبِّ الْعِبَادِ. He said, we have come to liberate people from the worship of man to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. to the worship of the Rabb of man, of the Lord of man. And what for us is the worship of the Lord of man? Enhancing and embracing the Quran and practicing the revelation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent to the dunya. So Mu'athin was the preparation of leadership. It was the preparation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared for a particular circumstance, for a particular end. And inshallah, on Sunday, we will continue this lecture. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who love the truth, speak the truth, and preach the truth. Time is short. We have a long road back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there, every word of truth is going to count on the scale of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, we pray sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect all of us, to protect our iman, even in lockdown. Many people make dua for many things. I say, no. We must pray for in the situation that we're in. The situation we're in is we're in lockdown. We ask Allah to protect our iman in the state that we're in, to make us strong Muslims. Because remember, your iman doesn't depend on your surroundings and your circumstances. Your iman is an internal light that shines. Should shine forth anywhere. Whether in a prison cell for 99 years, or locked up like Nabi Yusuf was, and like Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was locked up, Ibn Taymiyyah was locked up, for one reason only, for coming out and speaking the truth. People died in prison, great scholars of Islam. And while in prison, they used to write, subhanAllah. Don Guru was in prison here on Robben Island. Didn't waste his time. He sat and he wrote the whole Quran from memory. Subhanallah. So there's lots we can achieve inside our homes. We shouldn't feel downgraded. Oh, we can't go here. Oh, we're prevented from going there. Oh, we prevent from going there. No. Didn't Nabi Yusuf say, Ya Allah, you put me in prison, now I can't do anything. My iman is not going to go away. My iman is going to go down. No, the iman became stronger. We can become stronger Muslims. We can become what we never thought we could become. Sometimes we influenced by our circumstances, by our friends, but we should now be influenced just if we just have the Quran in our homes. Subhanallah. And we read it with understanding. We can achieve so much in terms of the growth of our faith and our iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our health, protect us from all the viruses that may be around. And remember, if we do die of a virus in a plague, we die as shaheed. And the shuhada will be with the anbiya. The shuhada will be with the prophets, subhanallah. Not only on the day of Qiyamah, but in Jannah. So we are confronted with a, subhanallah, if we live, our iman is stronger. If we die in the epidemic, in the pandemic, we die as shaheed. Subhanallah. Can you imagine? Okay, nobody's going to come to my janazah, nobody's going to pray for me, everybody's going to stay away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided something greater. The greatest gift from Allah is to become a shaheed. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us, protect our children. May Allah guide us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that we absorb what we learn, remember it, internalize it, think about it, become stronger, and carry on. Tomorrow belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Inshallah, on Sunday at 12 o'clock, this lecture will continue. والله تعالى عالم والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته.